Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody.
Should put deodorant on my foot.
This is Friday for you. It's Thursday for us. As promised, we are now 2 days a week. So it's strictly out of our own boredom. Somebody has ice. I'll just warn you right now. I can hear the ice rattle.
I'm done. I'll mute it every time I drink. I promise.
Anyone that heard Wednesday's episode, Austin had a big metal cup full of ice, and it rattled the entire time.
It was big. It was an insulated promo swag mug.
It was like, yeah, you know, how a microphone amplifies your voice. That cup amplified his ice.
Yeah.
And we've all had that dickwad at a show who's just swirling his cup of ice.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, hey, could you not fucking
work in it?
Actually, on one of your recordings, Todd, that I was editing that never got done because I'm a lazy fuck, there was somebody who had a glass of ice who kept slinking it around and it fucked up the whole recording.
Yeah, I know that. It was that was in Lexington.
Yeah.
And that's twice. When I went back to Lexington this year, there was an ice person. I bet you it was the same lady. I bet you she was there the year before, came back.
You got a fan.
Yeah, the ice lady cometh. Man, guys.
So wait, am I understanding this right? That there's an album that Jeff was supposed to edit that never got released.
Well, it was weird.
He failed to edit it.
Well, part of it was my fault because I already had an album recorded. Now, the people that ended up doing the album for me, the label, wanted to do another recording and maybe do a cleaner version of some of the bits. Well, not my forte, cleaning bits up that aren't written clean. And I just knew. I didn't even listen back to it. Jeff was tasked with editing it together, and I was like, buddy, don't exhaust yourself on it, because I don't remember them going that well. Like, you know, I'm self-editing while I'm on stage.
I just went in and cut all the bad parts out.
No, I listened through. The thing was, there was an audience track and there was a from the microphone track. And so I listened to the microphone track, and you could, it was like, oh, this isn't bad. But then you're going to blend the two. And the audience track was just such shit that it was just, you could hear fucking, like, it was almost too ambient where it was picking up everything. Like, you could hear people walking and shit like that.
Like it was an old timey radio sketch.
Yeah.
You could hear everything in the background as you're walking through the scene.
Yeah. And I mean, you want a little bit of that, but
I'm going to walk across the room now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was one of those that, like, I did all of that in one day. I listened to like six, I listened basically six times to it, and then never touched it again. So,
well, I was not pressuring you at all to get it done because I knew that I probably wasn't going to be happy with it anyway. So why waste the time?
Well, I was doing it for the record company. And so, you know. Dude. Oh, you asked earlier how we're doing. Yesterday, I had a fucking nervous breakdown at work. That's always good, right?
What happened with that?
Put a hole in the drywall. Like,
what?
Like I drive a Camaro. No, I didn't punch it, but I did put a hole in it.
You punched a hole in the wall at work?
No. Well, there's a hole in the wall. You man. And it's my fault. But I didn't punch it like a fucking
hillbilly,
like when I was 15 and angry at my dad up in my bedroom. Like, I was trying to, because of this isolation, which is why we're doing this shit like this. We're moving people around the studio. So my boss has moved a person into my room. My room has been moved to another room, which involves moving like three monitors and computers and switchers and all this shit, of which usually we have engineers there to do for me. Shout out to Eddie and Cookie.
Yeah. But they're also practicing social distancing.
Yes. They aren't allowed in the building. So Dum Dum here,
Eddie
had
and
to
Cookie
rewind.
Our persona non grata.
Oh my
gosh. Never would have thought Eddie and Cookie would have been able to get in there, but on.
They aren't allowed in the building. Like, it just aren't. So my dumb ass was trying to figure out engineering and like wiring and shit like that. And I was trying to get behind this girl's desk at work who had one of those big, what do you call it? They're like a credenza on the top.
Oh, that sits on top of the desk.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll grab this and just slide it away from the wall. Well, it wasn't bolted to the desk. And so it just went off the other end and just went through the wall, like the wall. And I immediately was just like, fuck this shit. Like, okay, and I just raged and had to go walk around the parking lot like six times and then call my boss and go, oh, I just put a huge fucking hole in the wall trying to.
Well, that's not so bad. The anger came afterwards. This is like a bumbling related hole and not you flipping out at work.
Well, I wasn't.
You flipped out afterwards.
I wasn't happy when I was moving it, but I lost my shit as soon as it slipped off and it was so heavy. I had to take all the doors out and like unload the entire thing. And then it still took me and two other guys to lift it out of the wall and back to where
it was. What was this thing made out of?
Fucking the heaviest goddamn particle board I've ever fucking.
At the Bob and weight rack?
At the Bob and Tom show, they have like we used to have a similar office line for the state police, which ours was Penn Products. They make the furniture at the prisons. Prisoners make it. And it's like the heaviest composite wood.
Oh my God, ever. It's so heavy.
I could just see some warden being like, nope, get the heavy stuff.
So prisoners can't pick it up and use it as a weapon. You know, it would take like eight prisoners to pick it up and simultaneously use it as a weapon. So their furniture is like that. So I can tell you it's very heavy.
Okay. Well,
and I get over in the corner and first of all, now I have to go get my boss. I have to go recruit other men from around the building to help this not a man fucking lift this goddamn thing back up. And it was just embarrassing and pathetic. And I wasn't today was a much better day at work.
Well,
no holes in the wall.
That's the thing, like with all this puts you more on edge. So last night I'm editing Dockheads and I'm wrapping up at about 2:30 in the morning. I'm putting the finishing touches on. I'm like, all right, I am ahead of the game. I'm behind. Usually I like to put it out midnight, but according to what schedule I had available, I was ahead of the game. Very happy. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. This is awesome. And then at some point, I look away to take a drink. And when I come back, I continue listening to the very last part. And it jumped on me. I was like, wait a minute. This is like in the middle now, or actually like toward the top third.
Got a little mystery now.
And I'm like, what's going on? So I start playing it and I start hearing parts that I had previously edited out. And I was like, what the fuck? So I look at it, dude, 2/3 of this thing was now unedited. And I had just finished editing. I have no idea what happened on audition. I swear I didn't touch anything. And I'm like, I mean, obviously I did, but you know, not I didn't, as far as I know, I didn't touch anything. Whoa. And I'm like, what just happened? Because this was almost a 2-hour episode edited. That so sucks. I'm like, what the fuck? So then I'm going through and I'm like, I'm Googling, I'm YouTubing, trying to find ways.
A big control Z.
Oh, that's what I was looking for. And there was nothing that I could find that I wasn't like scared of, that it would go ahead and just erase the whole fucking
thing. Yeah, and then you're even more fucked.
Yeah. So
this is so much worse because when you first said this, I took it as like you only had the clips.
No.
That's a blooper reel. You're good there. That's bonus content. That's Patreon.
This was the whole raw file that I had.
Oh my God.
I was 5 minutes away from finishing the edit on. Oh. And I have this conversation with God. When I discovered this, and so much so, I must have sounded like such a crazy person. Marnie today, my fiance, tells me, she goes, I don't know what was going on in bedroom number 4 last night during your editing, but I was afraid to come check on you. Like, she was like, I wanted to come check on you to make sure you're okay. And I just immediately knew that all the guns were in the bedroom where I was. So there wasn't that, you know, to worry about, but she was afraid to come in there. I mean, I was losing my ever loving mind.
Wow. And we're armed in bedroom number 4.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I keep all the weapons out of the dungeon.
Oh, you said they're not in there. Okay.
No. She knew that. Mm-hmm. She knew that much.
Like, she had the weapons.
Yeah.
So she like, knew she was safe.
Yeah. But she was scared to come in here. So I don't blame her because I know what state of mind I was in. I was like, and it took me till 6:30 to get it done. And I was like, holy shit, so another 4 hours.
Jesus Christ, my friend.
It's not worth it.
I know. No, no, it's not. So it's like,
by the way, we appreciate everyone who listens to this. You guys really do make it, but Todd, it's not worth it.
Lesson learned. Save as you go. Save as you go.
Dude, it's a hard lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. I've never had it that bad, luckily. But I've edited, we do a Bob and Tom Tonight Show, which is like a 20-minute clip of, you know, the highlights of the day every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been times where like I'm exporting it and it's just like, oh, my computer just like shuts down for no reason. And then you go back and it's just like not there. It's just like, do you want to load from the previous? Yeah, I fucking want to load from the previous. And then it pulls up one from like 9 days earlier. You're like, yeah, that's the one I wanted, you dick.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot. Perfect. Yeah,
I quit.
Awesome. You're going to go take a walk around the parking lot.
Jeff dropped another credenza.
Whenever I get really pissed, we have one of those like panic bars to like leave our office. So I just like drop kick it just because it's like a big, heavy, you know, nobody can shoot through it kind of door.
Well, that's
so what I drop kick it and then I go do laps out in the park. I do speed laps out in the parking lot, walking like I'm a 40-year-old fucking newly divorced mom trying to lose that fucking extra 10 to get a man back.
I want to put a punching dummy in the, so my exercise room is adjoined here just by a door, but I need a punching dummy, one of those like martial arts ones where it's from the upper torso with no arms, that guy. I need that, like probably don't even need to put it on the other side of a door. It needs to go right here so that when I get really upset, I can just start kicking and punching the hell out of that dude. And just now I can sit back down. Okay.
If you really want to go big, you should aim for the O in Funtown. I think that would play. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Punching walls. Letting loose.
I got to burn some boxes finally. My garage was filling up with boxes. I needed to make some room.
I burnt some leaves today. I felt like a goddamn man.
Did you?
Fucking loved it. Cleaned out. I blew out my flower beds. That's what a man I am.
Are you guys allowed to burn either one of those things? I don't think you're supposed to be doing that.
Oh, dude, I live out in the fucking country. I burn shit all the time. All my neighbors do, so nobody can call because we can all turn each other in. It's great. Todd,
what's the burning culture like around where you live?
Dude, we have no homeowners association, thank God, because it's an old addition. We obviously are under whatever county ordinances, but nobody here gives a shit. We pretend like we live in the country because it kind of looks like it once you're in here, even though you're just right off a main road and really close to Broad Ripple. But we pretend that we live out in the country. I pee outside. I do all the country stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a little make-believe land here we have.
Yeah. That's a pretty good little pocket to be in then, you know, because, I mean, you've got some of those nice restaurants, you know, that keep Marnie happy.
Yeah, they're close. She's got Costco close. She's got all her shopping. Fine. But then we have leaves and trees. Yeah. So squirrels. I got a new bag of nuts for the squirrels. I've got it.
Wait, so, you're providing nuts?
Yeah. We provide a full buffet.
Damn. Pandemic's really hit your neighborhood, hasn't it? Even the squirrels are getting a bailout.
Dude, I had so many raccoons murdering my chickens that I felt like I was just supplying, like that I just was offering like a neighborhood fucking raccoon buffet. Like, oh, just come and take whatever chickens you want. I'll go and get more and then you can come and slaughter them and eat their fucking heads.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
At one time I did. It was a true buffet for my squirrels and I'm just now getting back into it. I took a little break. So they were probably pissed off. Like, what the fuck happened, man? We were eating so good. But I put a little pile of granola here, and then I had the shell, you know, the nuts still in the shell here, and then I had some deshelled nuts over here in three different piles. I like to see which one would get taken first.
Okay.
Sweets always win, dude. The granola would go so fast. Oh, yeah. And I've actually seen a difference in the size of my squirrel since I took this 8-month layoff.
So you –
<They're getting> skinnier.
Well, it's cutting season, so, I mean, it's good. You're just helping them cut.
Uh-huh.
It's fine.
They're not good at portion control. They just come and eat until
they are Indiana squirrels, so I mean they
could be lazy ass fat squirrels.
So you're doing one of those like what do you call those boards that they lay all the meat?
Charcuterie.
Yeah, you're doing a squirrel cootery, I guess. Yeah. charcuterie for squirrels. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I don't know. That reminds me. So growing up, my grandfather had like, I don't know, 90 bird feeders outside his window. And he had like binoculars, even though the bird feeders were less than 10 feet from the window.
Oh, yeah.
And he had like bird books on the kitchen table. And I think that was way popular when I was younger, because I know other people whose grandparents were like that, had like bird books and were really into. And my grandfather had like a 20-year battle with the fucking squirrels stealing his goddamn corn and fucking bird feed. Like, he would grease the fucking poles with axle grease. He made like these big domes that would go over, so if the squirrel tried to get on it, it would slide off, and he would axle grease that shit. And it's like, why the, like, so like, fuck a squirrel. Like, oh, birds are cool. Like, but I'm very particular about which outdoor wild animals eat my shit. Like, if I swear to God, like, it was almost racist. Like, you've never seen like someone who hated a species more than my goddamn grandfather hated those fucking squirrels going at his goddamn corn and his fucking meal and his all that other shit that he had out there for his fucking birds. Fucking lifelong. Like, you'd be like, hey, Grandpa, there's a squirrel out there. God damn it. He would just get my like, oh, yeah. Just living and would just, hey, check it out. I fashioned up a new, like, he would make all these crazy concoctions to try to keep the squirrels away from his fucking bird feeders. So, and he lost though. Every time. They would always find a way.
If he just leaned in to feed the squirrels, it'd be a win.
Yeah. As a child, it never made sense to me. It was like, they're both wild creatures who they're both hungry. Who gives a shit who's eating it?
Like, it's because old men like my grandpa hunted the fuck out of squirrel. So it was better to have that mindset that they were an adversary. You know what I mean? So we have that going on here. Marnie has bird feeders out the ass. She's all about these birds and I'm all about the squirrels. So we have a little competition going, because when I was really into feeding the squirrels, which I'm going to get back into, at one point, I used to do these Instagram videos with this one squirrel because he would let me get within like 2 feet of him. His name was Earl the squirrel. And he would let me get really close and just watch him eat. Now, if I went inside that 2 foot, you know, distance, boom, he was gone. But he would let me get that close. So, but she did make me grease the poles. And there's nothing that's more funny than watching squirrels try to get up a bird feeder pole when you've greased it. Because they just, they kind of stay in place for a minute when the little feet go.
Now, what did you grease yours with, Todd?
I have like a machine lubricant, like a jar thing of it that my dad gave me. My dad's always got shit in his garage. Like, I'm like, why will I ever need, it's blue. He's like, oh, this is the best lubricant in the world. It's, you know, it'll go up to all temperatures, hot or cold. It still works.
Dude, like, oh. I grease my pole with Adelies.
Even when you're by yourself, you just, you know, you practice like you play, right?
You know, that shit's lubey. Like, watch a squirrel try to fuck it. It's not going to go. Like, it's not going to happen. It's going to slide right the fuck off that pole.
Oh, my God. Speaking of poles, if you're going to have somebody trying to climb your pole, you might as well keep it clean down there. Might as well keep it smooth. I just started to do a Manscaped ad. We don't have Manscaped today.
Be sure to pick up McComas Ginseng to help you with all your memory issues. What do we got? What do we have?
If you are in just the early stages of starting to lose your hair and you have noticed things are regressing backward or they are thinning. Now, if you're in the early stages, Jeff does not have this problem. Somehow he continues to grow more hair. I believe than he did even when he was a child. But Austin and I, ours is going back a little bit.
Yeah.
The people with keeps have a solution for you. Listen, 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The good news, with today's advancements in science, keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and help you keep the hair you have at half the cost of your local pharmacy. You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. That's the message. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you may have tried them before, but probably never at this price. Prevention is key. It's everything. Keeps treatments really work. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men have even experienced hair regrowth with Keeps treatment. Hopefully you fit that category. I'm hoping to fit that category. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treating for hair loss. Thanks to Keeps, you no longer have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. They'll ship it right to you. Just order it. Get it shipped to you. You can do it yourself. It's easy. Trust me. So if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/funtown to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's right. Your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps, KEEPS.com/funtown, KEEPS.com/funtown. We're all about shaving what you have down here, and we're all about keeping what you have up here. So, dude, I've been trying to get back into feeding the squirrels because there's nothing I can do really that stretches beyond the boundaries of my property right now, obviously. So I'm doing that. I almost mowed yesterday. It was so nice here yesterday. It was warm. It was my yard starting to dry, and I thought, oh, I can go mow. And then I checked the mower. No gas.
Yeah.
The battery's completely classic dead.
First mow of the year.
Oh, yeah. Battery's completely dead. I'm going to have to put the trickle charger on there. I forgot about that.
Was this a riding deal?
Oh, yeah. I have a riding mower.
What do you got there, Toddy?
I got the Sears Craftsman riding lawnmower. I got my dad's hand-me-down.
That's what I got. I'm sure you've heard my joke. I got my I got my girlfriend's ex-husband's tractor, right. Which is like a Sears beautiful Craftsman. Love the shit out of it. That thing's a workhorse of the industry, as they say.
It is. And I always take my dad's hand-me-downs because like he had it for like 14 years, but it literally looked brand new when he gave it to me. It doesn't look brand new anymore because I don't keep up my shit like that. But it's the Bob Villa series. I'm just going to let you know.
The Bob Villa?
Yeah. Limited
edition. No. Oh, I didn't know you're pushing a Villa. That's pretty sick. What's the Villa have that the regular Craftsman doesn't?
Well, I'll tell you, Austin, it has this streamlined sticker right on the side that says Bob Villa series on it. That's the major difference as far as I can tell.
Now, I'm also noticing that you and I have a very different way of saying his last name. I believe it's Bob Villa, and you are kind of doing a tortilla.
Yeah, I'm making him more ethnic.
Bob Villa.
Yeah, because I think he existed before, you know, it was important to do the Villa. You know, he was big when you could be somewhat less sympathetic to other cultures. So,
wait, is he Hispanic?
Well, his last name's Villa. Poncho. I
think there's only one L in it.
Poncho,
right?
Villa. No, he has two, right? I don't know.
Bob Villa?
Is it on the side? Is it on the side of the Villa?
Villa?
It's Villa.
Which, by the way,
it's got to be Villa.
I don't know anything for a fact. That guy looks like he's.
I'm going to Google it.
Is this
correct? That guy looks like he's an asshole.
I'm sure he is. He's Bob.
Oh, I'm sure he probably notices everything wrong.
He looks like such a dickhead.
The thing is. Is I bet he's the type of guy that like comes in and just screams at the crew for not having the work done yet for shooting. And they're like, you do it. And he gets it done and like doesn't mess up his shirt. He's just that guy.
It is like, Bob Villa. It's 1L. Well, I thought it was Villa with 2Ls. So what I did was I lowered my riding lawnmower and put spinners on it. So in hydraulics.
What are you?
The Villa. I have the Roberto Villa series. The Roberto Villa.
What are you pushing there, Austin?
Your boy is basically strutting a Troy built fold down walk behind, self propelled. It's not something you can ride, but old girl does hustle. So nice. I'm not really ashamed of that. I get my yard cracked out pretty quick.
What do you got yard wise? What are you looking at? We looking at
I'm right at a quarter acre.
Okay, yeah. That's manageable with a push.
Yeah.
A quarter acre? You can manage that with a pair of scissors.
Oh, come on. Come on now, grandpa.
I'm sitting on 40 acres. I'm sitting on 40 now. I'm sitting on an acre and a half.
You crazy people. You get
an acre and a half is a lot.
I do. You know what? It's the perfect amount of time to be away from the kids.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea I was speaking to a baron, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Well, I inherited this. Like most barons, I earn nothing of this.
Yeah,
so. And I own nothing of it. So
I have almost a full acre. I'm like, right. I like 0.9 acres or something.
You got a nice yard.
It's just enough. Like after a few push mowing sessions, I was like, yeah, fuck this.
I'm going to ride it out.
Go get a rider. So what I do is I casually mention that to my dad. This is my MO. I'll be like, hey dad, what's up? We talk for a little bit. And I'm like,
you leaned on your dad for the Vila. I can't believe you did that.
Well, this is what happens. I'll go, you know, I think I'm going to go into town this weekend, do some shopping, get me a riding mower. Well, what do you think about getting? I was like, I don't know. You know, maybe I'll look at some John Deere's. Maybe I'll look at what's the other, the yellow ones?
Matty Ferguson. Shit.
The other big ones that are yellow. Anyway, it's one of
Cub Cadet.
Mower. Yeah. The Cub Cadets. And so he goes, well, yeah, I've been looking at those too. And he goes, well, don't get anything just yet. Let me get a hold of you tomorrow. Calls me tomorrow. Yeah, I think I'm going to get me a new Cub Cadet. I've been looking. I was going to get one anyway. So how about you just buy mine for like $500? And I'm like, done.
Yeah. I got to look at a Cubby then. Because, if you're going to step away from a Vila, the Cub Cadet, it must be pretty good.
For my dad, had a falling out with Sears, which I guess the rest of the country did too, pretty much. But he's no longer buying anything Sears.
I don't think anyone is.
My dad was a straight craftsman man his whole life.
Yeah.
And the other day he goes, if you look in the paper, Harbor Freight, they put like as much as you can fit in a bag for $3 in there like every 3 weeks. Like I'm like, I thought you said Harbor Freight tools were shit. And he goes, yeah, they are, but they're so cheap you can just go buy them again when they fucking break.
And that's what it is. When you're at that age and you don't have the endurance to actually take a big project on, it's all about buying the tools.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
But growing up, my dad was strictly craftsman. And I mean, I probably spent a good, if you added it together, I probably spent a good 4 months of my life looking for his tools that were misplaced.
Nice. Like,
hey, my 9/16 fucking missing. Where's it at? And it's like, I didn't fucking use it. And he goes, go find it. And you're just looking for a socket in a garage full of tools.
My grandpa was a machine repairman for Cummins diesel engines. And he would make his own power tools, like air-driven power tools. Like him and the other guys he'd work with, they would just build them out of scrap shit there at work. Probably weren't supposed to do that, but you know, whatever. And they looked like hell, but they were effective. Like he would have this nut driver thing and you just had like a thumb thing you would depress. And like the first time he used it, it's like, and it drives it like all the way through the bench. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, you could change tires on race cars with this.
You know? I love it.
I just need to drive something in this piece of wood. But it looked like Frankenstein's monster. Just it's like playing part of a fan. Like one time he had his furnace worked on, and I called my buddy who owns an HVAC company, and he started to get to that age where he stopped working on stuff himself. He's like, yeah, I'll have a pro come in, overhaul everything, you know, so I don't have to touch it for a while because I'm getting older. So I called my buddy to come there, and he sends me a picture on his phone of the furnace. My grandpa had patched part of this furnace with a license plate. He soldered a license plate to cover this part that caved in on his furnace.
Is this in Shelbyville?
No, this is worse. It's out even farther southeast from Shelbyville.
People are resourceful out that way. I'll tell you that much.
And so he told my grandpa, he's like, you know, I can replace this furnace. And he's like, oh, I don't need it. We just recondition this one, right? Do whatever. And he goes, well, he's like, I don't know how you feel about house fires, but like, I'm pretty sure if I don't replace this, you're risking one. So he finally got a whole new furnace.
Wow.
I feel like all three of us have fathers and grandfathers that it, no matter what we do, there's just no way we are ever going to live up to their abilities, their skills, their knowledge. Like, I'm 47. I still feel like an idiot every time I speak to my father. Like, I feel like he's looking at me like, he's like, I built my house by hand when I was 21. Right. I built my own wood burning stove. You can't even you can't even change the oil on your mower without calling me to ask where the plug is, you dumb. Do you guys feel like that ever?
Oh yeah, it's something that's lost on society now. That was passed down from father to son. My dad really didn't pass it down to me for whatever reason.
My dad tried. I didn't want to fucking learn.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, he just didn't want to fight with me. You know, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to go run out for my friends. I'm going to go throw a tennis ball against the barn for a while. You know?
Like, important shit.
Yeah.
So I work with my dad, which is wild.
Have you learned anything?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, that's it. When you spend enough time around him, you get to see him, like, not being perfect. So then, you know, you kind of get to. But you do learn a lot, for sure. But yeah. It takes a while to get to that point.
So can you fix shit on your own?
Can I fix stuff?
Yeah, can you plumb and all that stuff?
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, really, plumbing
as good as your dad, though.
Oh, as good as my dad? Oh, for sure. Because I'll actually, like, you got to figure, Dave's just feeling his way through the darkness when he goes. I mean, he's doing it all. It's jazz, baby. He's just going, you know. But I'll actually get online, look at stuff, measure it out. I mean, yeah.
Well, I did as little as I got from my dad. I passed on zero of that to my son. So now, from the McComas generation, from Bailey on, absolutely knows nothing. Nothing. It's order somebody to your house, place a call. Go online, have somebody come to your house.
That's the great thing, though, is the YouTube now. Like, it, and what's funny, I don't know, 4 years ago, I had changed my water pump in my car. And so I went on fucking YouTube and looked how to change a water pump and, like, put my laptop out there and followed the instructions and changed the water pump in my car. That's awesome. I called my dad. I was like, hey, I just changed the water. How the hell did you figure that out? And I go, I watched a YouTube video. So whatever. There it is.
But the problem with a lot of those is you're like, okay, there's this little project. I shouldn't have to call a service guy for that. I'll just get on YouTube and learn how to do it myself. But by the time you watch it, you're like, well, fuck, I got to go out and buy $170 worth of tools that I don't have.
Oh, so. I had to rent tools. Yeah. Like, that was the thing. But the best part is, so I tell my dad this, and, you know, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was trying to fix my dryer, and he goes, you know what you should do? Go on YouTube, and just, there's people on there who will show you how to do it. I'm like, yeah, I'm the one who told you that. Like, I am the one who shared that fact. He goes, but don't just go with the first one, because a lot of those people, like, you want to find the one. I go, yeah, I know. You want to search by. Yeah, I'm the one who fucking taught you that, old man.
All of a sudden, he thinks he invented YouTube.
But now he is going on there to work on his cars and stuff. So, like, which is awesome, because it's like, oh, so you don't know everything, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad will do the same thing now. He's found YouTube. He's got these little, you know, every time I go over there, he's built a new bench or something, and it's all stuff he looked up the plans on and then got on YouTube and watched how to put it together.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, I got some questions for you guys. I'm gonna try these out. These are things Todd wants to know.
Do I need a lawyer, Todd? I mean, I think, is that usually how
where were you April 30th?
Is there any reason your DNA would be found on the steering wheel of this car? All right. If you could play a one scene only supporting role in any movie, just one of those roles where they have one good scene, what movie, scene, and role would you choose?
Right off the top of my head, I would go with the diner scene from Pulp Fiction. And I would just be Travolta, like, watching him do his shit.
Yeah, that, dude, I'm glad he said that, because I also chose a Pulp Fiction scene, And it's this opening scene where Jules and Vincent Vega, Samuel Jackson and John Travolta, walk into Brad's apartment to get the briefcase back from Marcellus Wallace. And I want to be Brad, the guy. Look at the brain on Brad. You know, he takes a drink of my soda. And I'm because if you pick a scene out of Pulp Fiction, probably why you did it too, you live in infamy. There's never a time that's not on TV somewhere playing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love that scene.
Yeah. How about you, Austin? You
got a good one? A good one. I would want to do the scene in Top Gun where Tom Skerritt tells Tom Cruise that if you can't find anyone to fly with him, he'll fly with him. I want to give that speech. I want to be the one that, you know, tells Maverick, like, just go up there, turn it up to 11. You do what you do. Let's get this movie. One. Let's get this movie wrapped up so I can go do Steel Magnolias.
That's a good one. Have you guys seen Tombstone?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. So this was my backup, and it was the scene where Johnny Tyler is played by Billy Bob Thornton, and he gets bitch slapped by Wyatt Earp in the saloon, and then he comes after him with a shotgun. I would like to be that role. I would like to be Johnny Tyler instead of Billy Bob Thornton.
Tombstone's got a bunch of them.
Oh, it does.
They got a whole bunch of them.
Johnny Tyler.
Yeah.
Man, Johnny Tyler. What you going to do with that shotgun? Yeah, I would die to have one scene in Tombstone. It's my favorite movie of all time.
One of my favorite movies, I couldn't tell you which scene, I would just love to be like Tom Sizemore in it, is Heat.
Sizemore in Heat is off the rails, dude. Yeah. Dude.
That would be my ideal role to ever get to play ever.
Tom Sizemore has three supporting starring roles and that are epic. I mean, they don't get any better than those roles. And it's that in Heat and Black Hawk Down, where he plays the salty, first sergeant that controls the convoy, and he's more cool and war hardened than everybody else. And when he played in Saving Private Ryan, basically the same character, but plays the staff sergeant, the second in command for the little group. I mean, and then he got addicted to heroin.
Oh, and crank. Did you ever see his reality show where he would just hold up in a hotel and like cover up the windows and just freebase fucking meth on camera, like not giving a shit?
Dude, did you see him on Celebrity Rehab?
No.
Oh, it was so sad because, you know, he went from that. They showed clips from his reality show there and the opening of it. And then after they showed him in Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down and Heat. Dude. And then he's in the opening scene there and he sits down with Dr. Drew and he's got tears running down his face and he just looks like hell and he's rubbing his face and he goes, I used to live next door to Jack Nicholson.
Oh, man.
And I smoked it all away. Dude, meth is a hell of a drug. Have you not seen Tiger King? Meth seduced two straight guys into marrying a gay dude.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Austin, and everyone else listening.
I think there's enough in it that if a couple of the bells don't get rung, it's still going to be a banger.
Dude, there's so much in it.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And it couldn't have happened at a better time. I mean, when everybody's shut in.
Yeah. Dude, it's like making a murderer, but funny. Like, it's as compelling as making a murderer, but not nearly as depressing. And for some reason, it doesn't make me angry. Like, making a murderer, like, fucking infuriated me. Fucking Tiger King. I laugh my balls off at that thing. It's horrible, and I still laugh my balls off at it.
You know why you don't get angry? Because there was actual injustice in The Making of a Murderer. And this one, you're like, I think everybody's getting about what they deserve. Exactly.
There's that balance of, a little bit of yang, a little bit of yang. This is
all just crazy people being crazy with each other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I got another question for you. If you hit the lottery for $10 million, what's your first selfish gift to yourself?
So $10 million is a good amount.
Take away all the charity you would do or taking care of relatives and friends. What's the first selfish gift you buy for yourself?
Oh, man. First, God, I don't even know what I want. I'm so depressed to answer this right now.
I'll tell you what I'm getting, if this helps you. I'm getting a giant tricked out houseboat on a lake with a built-in humidor. I don't even really smoke cigars, really, but I'm going to have a humidor full of cigars and a full sports bar inside it, staffed 24/7 with a bartender and 6 giant TVs.
Whoa.
That's all I want. That's all I want in life.
For $10
million? I'll spend 5 of it on this houseboat if I have to. It's really going to be a yacht put on a lake that's going to piss off all the other lake property owners.
It's like a floating sports bar.
Yeah.
Dude, you should buy up at our lake. They have this thing called the Madam Carol, which is an old time paddle boat that is 3 stories tall. And people go out on cruises. Like, it's so big that it takes up half the lake when it goes down the lake. You're like, how the fuck did this thing end up here? But I would buy that motherfucker in a heartbeat. You could put a hotel on it. Like, it's that, like.
I love it.
You would love it. It would be perfect for your thing. Exactly what you want.
That's funny. Like, comes Jeff on the madam.
Oh, dude. Well, Henry Lee Summer plays on there all the time. Like, nice. They have all these, like, bands on there. And they come down the river, and you can hear them coming. But one, and it's all adults, but like twice a year, they have a family cruise. And it's like the middle of August from like 3 to 6 in the afternoon during the hottest fucking part of the day and of the year. And we took this thing with the kids, and it was fun for about 42 minutes. And then you're like, holy shit, we still have 2 hours and something to go. And you drive by your lake house and you're like, can I just jump off and swim? Holy shit. Anything's got to be better than staying on this goddamn boat one more second. It's the fucking worst. You guys, this summer, if things are back up and running, I'm having you guys come up. Nice. Bring the families. We're all going out on the fucking cruise.
Can't
You'll
wait.
Love it.
Go out on the madam.
I'm going to go listen to Henry Lee and fucking go out on the madam.
Nice. I just want to live on the water. I don't know. I don't care what happens one day. I just want to live in the water.
What is it about some people just wanting to get near the water? I don't want to be near the water because bad shit happens when there's too much rain. You don't want to be near the water. I don't understand it.
I don't think of the cons. It's all pros with me. I just want to be able to fish and lay out and just listen to the sounds that a lake has. And I realize now winter is a thing, and it's not going to be great to live there during the winter, but
yeah,
I got $10 million. I'll figure it out.
Okay. Would you change it if it was only $1 million?
Oh yeah. I would have
to. What would be like the most, because I think there's like, I watch on Friday nights, this is how old I am. I watch My Lottery Dream Home, where this super gay guy takes Midwesterners around to look at houses. And the husbands are all very uncomfortable and the wives are always very enamored. Uh-huh. And it's hilarious to me. Like, people win like $1 million and then go out and buy a $500,000 house. And then you get people who win $10 million and they go out and buy a $250,000 house. Right, and you're like, right. Oh, you guys made the right choice. The millionaires are going to be the $1 million millionaires are going to be fucking broke and lose that house in 6 months. I guarantee it.
Yeah. I think if I win $1 million, I've got to set things up where I can live forever on that. Right. So I'll just take a little bit. I'll just buy a couple little things. Like, I'll probably buy like one of Johnny Bench's catcher's mitts that he actually used in a World Series or something. Yeah. I'll just hunt that bitch down and spend me like 30 grand or whatever it takes to buy that. And I'll be like, all right, I'm done. The rest of it's just going into annuities.
Okay. So if I win $1 million, listen to this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find mint condition, cherry, Bob Vila edition Craftsman mower.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to find. I'm going to find one in a box somewhere at an old Sears, and I'm going to piece it together and roll that bad boy. That's probably 20 grand right there, right?
It probably is. Yeah. It's a limited series. It's a limited collection.
What was the first year? Do we know?
I have no idea. When was he big? In the
when was he big? The band built America, Todd. What are you talking about?
Early 2000s, late 90s.
Like the Paul Bunyan of the 80s.
I mean, Tool Time was based on him. So, yeah.
It must have been the 80s.
Yeah. That was when Bob was in his prime.
The Vila.
All right. Next question. You ready?
Yep.
What one single thing did you do as a kid to get you in the most trouble with your parents? Mine was when I got drunk, went to my first party at 16, got drunk, passed out. While I was passed out, my buddy Kyle decided he was going to go see this girl in the middle of winter. He takes my mom's station wagon. I drove to the party while I'm passed out, gets the keys out of my pocket, drives to see her, slips off the road, drives off the road on the ice, and crashes into a tree. And I have to drive this limp-ass station wagon home to my mom and dad the next day. And
oh man,
it was the worst. I was not only hungover, probably the worst I'll ever be hungover in my life, because not only at this party did I just, you know, I really wasn't into drinking yet, so I just destroyed myself. But at some time during the party, my best friend and I, Mike, decided, because we found vanilla ice cream in the dude's parents' freezer, and decided we were going to make beer floats and show off for everybody that we would drink Budweiser and vanilla ice cream.
Very floats. That's right.
Yeah.
Ah. What's more vomiting. Manly than making something malamode?
What is the deal? At a party at one of my friend Corey's houses, her parents were gone for the week, and I made beer mac and cheese. Instead of putting in milk, I poured in Bush Light.
You think?
And then so ate cool. it and acted like I was the fucking shit. Like
happy oh, about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
This is good. I enjoyed this.
You're like, look.
It actually wasn't bad. Just for the record, if you guys run out of milk, fucking pour a little beer in there. It's fucking beer, cheese, mac and cheese. It's fucking great.
At least you're cooking with it. You know, Mike and I were like, ooh, let's show it. Look how experienced we are drinking. We're mixing it with ice cream. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, anything tastes okay when you mix it with ice cream. Yeah,
with some ice cream.
Yeah, but the vomiting all night and the next day. Terrible. Terrible. But yeah, I think I was grounded. I couldn't drive. I had to go back on the school bus, which is the worst punishment of all time. I had to ride the school bus for like the remainder of the school year.
Oh, God. You're
16.
Yeah, you're done.
Horrible. Horrible.
You're done.
Yeah, I had to get rides home from baseball practice with my friends.
It's humiliating. That kid.
Yeah.
Can I get a ride, man?
Hey, man. I don't have a car. I drank a bunch of beer floats. Kyle wrecked my mom's car. How about you, Austin? Were you a pretty good kid? Or
yeah, I mean, I was the youngest, so I'm, at that point, I feel like there's not a lot of trying anymore, and I've seen the program run on two kids ahead of me, so I kind of just, you know, mm-hmm. you know the rules. But one time, I remember they were really pissed at me. It wasn't just my parents. It was like the whole family finally got sick of it, is we went on a vacation to Disney World. And I don't know what it was about this week that they chose, but I could not stop farting. I couldn't stop doing it. And so we're on this.
How plane. Old are you?
I'm probably like 9, 8 oh, at okay. this point.
Yeah.
And so I'm with my oldest brother, who's like just now old enough that this stuff isn't like he's too cool to be here on a trip to Disney World type thing.
Yeah.
And
his little brother's farting all over the plane.
Yeah. So we're on this plane and the plane is like damn near empty. So I go up there and sit next to him and he's getting mad at me because I keep farting. And I don't know. I'm a kid. I don't think anything wrong with this. I'm like, okay, leave there. Throughout the whole trip, it's just one moment after another where they just kind of become too often that the family's getting really sick of it. It's like one of the last nights that we're there. It pours down rain at night and it's just so hot out. So all these people load onto these buses. It's really hot. They're packing them full. Everyone's wet and they're getting all humid. And sure enough, on this bus, you smell this fart creep up. And right away, my whole family is like, God damn it, Austin. Like, what the hell? They start yelling at me in front of this whole bus, attracting all this attention on me. It's driving me crazy. I'm like, I didn't do it. I'm looking around. The only person not yelling at me is my dad, who is pressing his face against the glass window of the bus to try and hide it. And I look at him and he looks back and he's laughing his ass off. And my mom goes, David, did you do that? And he turns to this innocent man sitting right next to him. He goes, no, it was him. He just blames it on a guy who like put his hands up. Whole bus stares at this dude like he's a piece of shit. It was hilarious.
Oh, speaking of that, I don't know if you guys heard today, they've announced that, and it was, I think it was a police station or a fire station. Way you know if you're too close to someone with the quarantine is if you can smell their farts, you're too close.
Okay, well, that's a good gauge. What I'm wondering, I was about to ask the question, do you think you can catch corona
through
via
a fart?
A fart? Yeah.
Well, I will say this.
It's like a butt cough.
I will say this. Cuomo has came out, the New York dude, I probably said his name wrong. He was like, a list of things you should self-pleasure. You should not have sex with other people. Rimming is out of the question. He said rimming on fucking national TV. So apparently eating ass will give you the corona. So all you millennials, keep your tongue out of those buttholes for a few months, and
I bet it should be the mouth going into the butthole. I bet that's the problem.
Yes. Gen Z's devastated right now. This is their AIDS. They can't do their ass eating.
So no ass eating until the corona's over.
Doesn't affect me. I'm not real big at ass.
But yeah, if you can smell someone's fart, you need to get away from them. They can give you the corona.
So it's fair to see if you can see their butthole, you're probably too close as well.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. If you can touch it with your tongue, definitely too close.
Too close.
Speaking of eating bad things, weirdest thing you've ever eaten for breakfast that's not a breakfast food?
Oh, dude, I'll eat lasagna for breakfast. Yeah. I'll eat it. You want to know what pissed me off? McDonald's. Hey, all day breakfast. Fuck you. How about all day everything?
Yes.
Like, I don't want an Egg McMuffin at 5 in the afternoon. You know what I want at 7 in the morning? A goddamn quarter pounder with cheese. But you're nowhere with those, you fucking assholes. Like, let's bring the whole menu all day, or let's, I don't need whatever that syrup drenched fucking muffin thing is that people eat. Like, I hate that thing. You taste the syrup for 9 hours later. I don't need that. But give me a fucking McDouble and a fucking crispy chicken at 7 a.m. for breakfast. Oh, I'd be in heaven.
With a Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, large.
Oh. I've had all the regular drunk food, I think, when I was young. You know, I remember one time, though, my buddies, my roommates and I just grabbing, we had this pizza leftover. So we get up after a night of drinking, we had the pizza and we had bags of Cheetos just laying out from the night before that were open. So we took the pizza and we loaded like handfuls of Cheetos in them and rolled it up like some kind of wrap, like a pizza wrap with the Cheetos in the middle, and ate those the next morning.
I love
it. And it was delicious.
Cold you get pizza, the crunch. Cheetos. There's something to go with the crunch and the soft. I'm appreciating it.
I was eating like hot dogs in the morning for a while just because they cook quickly. I was eating those with peanut butter. Then it graduated to crunchy peanut butter, a little sriracha on there.
Wait,
pretty good. Yeah.
Are you a dog?
On a bun or
bun free? Of course on a bun. I'm not a savage.
I thought you were just like dipping it, the hot dog in the peanut butter and eating it like you're a dog. Like,
no, you put it on there. You put it on the bun, Todd.
Oh. So you line the bun with the peanut butter and then put
a little sriracha on there.
What?
A little pickle relish if you've got it, maybe some onion.
No wonder your farts are a problem.
Look at the way you eat. No, dude, I'm telling you right now, you eat like I do.
What?
You're going to have to ask the people next door to move out. We had the George Foreman on the counter for about 3 months. Insane. It was just, we kept hot dog stuff in stock. Huh?
Constant dogs.
Constant dogs, frozen patties in the evening. We were living like kings.
Dude, what kind of dog do you go for? I think we're on
about a third acre at that time, if I could put it in reference for you, Jeff.
Listen, I've never before heard the combination of sriracha and peanut butter. But
really?
Before I chastise it, let me say this. I do enjoy a good peanut butter, bacon, and jalapeno burger.
Yeah.
So maybe the heat with the peanut butter is good no matter what the delivery mechanism is.
It's fantastic. It's like kind of like a Thai peanut sauce at that point. Not to get too fancy on you.
You know what? I don't mean
to highbrow you landlords, you land barons, I'm sure, but I mean, I would never want to give this a try. Your stature.
I am too. I might take some peanut butter tonight because there's one thing that I have, two things I have a lot of in this house is peanut butter and sriracha because I'm going to make sriracha. I have sausages.
What kind of hot dogs do you go with there, Austin?
I like those Nathan's hot dogs. Those are pretty solid.
Nathan's are the Hebrews. Yeah. One or the others.
Hang on. I need to know what kind of podcast I'm on right now. Because, Todd, you got to edit this. Did you say Hebrew or the Hebrews?
I said Hebrew.
Okay. It sounded like you said the Hebrews. And I thought I might have to.
I may have slurred. I don't know. I meant the Hebrews. that's what they're called, right? I'm not being a dick. I think
those are Hebrew Nationals. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are those and the Nathans. Those are great. They could battle it out. Put those in celebrity death match and see who comes out.
Are you going to turn down a ballpark either, though? I'm not.
Oh, a fat ballpark?
Dude, I will turn down a Bar Z. I'll turn down a Bar Z like a motherfucker.
What's a Bar Z?
Well, it's the hot dogs my mom buys by the 30-pack that for some reason, no matter how long they're on the grill, they never brown.
Sorry, Jeff, that wasn't a part of my life. Yeah. If you heard my story earlier, I went on a Disney vacation no one gave a shit about.
Well, yeah, I've heard about Disney vacations. I've read about them.
They are magical.
I've seen those, Jeff. They're in the plastic roll, almost like a money belt of hot dogs.
Like a bandolier.
Yeah, a bandolier of hot dogs.
You're going to smuggle them, tape them to me.
Yeah.
And it's like skinny. 30 for $1.96. That's the quality of hot dog you're talking.
It's like government cheese hot dogs, kind of.
Well, back when I used to live in the hood, it was great because that's what everyone would buy was the shitty hot dogs. Uh-huh. So the Nathans and the Hebrew Nationals, they always had 2-for-1 because no one was ever buying the good hot dogs. And so I'd just go in and load up. Looking like a boss.
Jeff opened his own hot dog business.
I can manipulate the meat market, son.
There's nothing better than a good hot dog. Like when I go to a sporting event or something, for some reason, they do something different with their hot dogs.
Yeah.
But also Portillo's. People were hyping Portillo's, you know. We got
Portillo's.
Portillo's.
Todd, I'm really not trying to come down on you for your L's today, but I think it is Portillo's. I'm just saying.
It's not Portillo's?
No, it's Portillo's.
Portillo's.
I call it Portillo's.
We're going to Portillo's.
I'm going to get an Italian beef at the Portillo's.
I'm going to get an Italian beef.
Italian.
People went on and on about that place. And I'm like, listen, I love a good sausage. I love a good brat. I love a good hot dog, you know, on the grill, whatever. But come on, let's not go nuts about it. Like you're going out of your way to a restaurant to get these things. Yeah, they're that good. They are that
really
good. I mean, they are amazing. I am a big fan.
I went to Chicago Dog. I enjoyed it. But my problem is with a hot dog, I can easily eat 4 to 6 hot dogs in a sitting.
Absolutely.
So, but I'm not going to go and have $25 worth of hot dogs out. I do have a limit when it comes to what. That's why I like going to the Skyline. I get 4 or 5 Skyline dogs loaded with chili and loaded with cheese and onion. And it comes to $10.
Dude, people shit on Skyline that aren't from where we live.
Yeah. Those people can eat a dick.
Dude, it's so good. That chili sauce.
I've never had it. I need to go.
It's awesome drunk food. There's no better drunk food. But also when you're not drunk, dude, that sauce on a hot dog and you put the cheese on it.
The fresh onion for some reason. And they kind of steam it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do, but they're killing it.
It's so good.
I like movie theater hot dogs, which I think a lot of people think are gross because they're kind of mushy because they've been in that drawer all day. But I'll kill about 2.
I didn't even know they had hot dogs.
Theaters. They keep them in a drawer, Jeff.
That steamer drawer just turns me off every time. There's this much
you pull it
this
out.
Much water in it, and it's just they're just sitting in there, and it makes that sound like a prison door opening.
Oh, and they got big fat fat guys, big ones like that, and they're kind of brown by the time you get a hold of them, and not like a golden brown, but like an old brown,
like a date,
like hair has gotten to it for too long, brown.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, protective layer has formed to end the rot, that type of thing, and it's pretty good.
Have you guys ever eaten Braunschweiger? Am I saying it correctly?
Oh yeah, my dad was a big Braunschweiger. Well, we called it Braunschweiger because we were from fucking Acton.
I don't even know how to say it. But I think my dad called it Braunschweiger or Braunschweiger.
What is it?
It's like the consistency of a pate.
Yeah.
Somehow it stays together kind of like
it's a summer sausage. White trash pate.
It is.
It's probably the best way to describe it.
So is it just basically like bologna meat with stuff in it?
I'm assuming it's parts.
But you slice it they did. And you put it on a sandwich. You don't like smear it on a cracker. I think they jazzed up
old bologna parts and sold it back to you guys is what they did.
It's definitely parts. But it's just mushier and kind of, man, I was a big fan. Now, we did eat them on crackers with my dad, but
maybe I would have liked it better. My dad would put it on fucking Wonder Bread.
Really?
And with mustard.
That's well, here's how the cat food kind of.
It looked like cat food. Exactly. It smelled like cat food. It tasted, I'm assuming, like cat food.
Yeah. Gross. It's salt. The amount of salt in it is next level. It's the saltiest, meaty.
Yeah. It's like a sourdine of the beef world or the pork or whatever the fuck that is.
I think it's 30% salt. It's got to be. It's like the saltiest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing for you, Austin, growing up? What was the worst thing you ever ate?
Oh, I ever ate? Like, what do you mean, like, I shouldn't have
eaten? Like, as a kid. Like
your parents made you eat?
Yeah, or like something you tried and you're like, oh, this is horrible.
Oh, man. I remember I didn't like blue cheese at all. My mom would always eat that, and it was always the thing, like, why don't you try that? But that's kind of nothing. I do remember, though, one time this soup that was made that smelled absolutely fucking terrible, and that had like scarred me.
Really?
I don't think it was made right, and I think something in it got like it. I remember it having like a chemical taste to it, and it was one of those things where you kind of like muscled through it, and I don't remember my mom making it more than once, so I think she knew she messed it up. She just fed it to us anyway.
Do you not like any soup now because of that?
No, I do. It's just okay. My wife makes soup all the time, and if you like burn something in it, it'll ruin it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I mean, I can't think of anything real terrible. Like I said, I was the third kid, so by that time, my parents were just like, "Whatever they'll eat,
right?
Like, we're just doing that.
Who gives a shit about this one?
Yeah,
he'll be all right.
Yeah,
parents stopped being paranoid.
Speaking of that, so tonight for dinner, I made a lovely baked salmon. I made baked potatoes.
Oh, that's lovely.
I went with some steamed broccoli.
Do you have a stream near the back of your estate that maybe you fish these
that you wade out with your waders?
Straight out of the fucking Amazon fresh.
You do the fly thing, like a river runs through it.
I would love to try fly fishing. Like, it looks fantastic.
It does look fantastic.
You have not dealt with this yet, Austin, probably very much, but I made this lovely meal. I plated it beautifully.
Yeah,
like I was proud of myself. I was happy to pass the love of my food on to my family.
Did you do a little plate schmear?
No schmears. Okay, I'll be honest, no schmears. And I did kind of a baked potato, smorgasbord where I put a bunch of toppings on the table so they could do the potato up as they saw fit.
Oh, you did a baked potato bar.
That's the word I could not think of.
You put together a baked potato bar, and if this story is where it's going, I'm coming over to hit your kids.
And two of the kids, very appreciative, loving everything. Oh,
never mind.
The youngest one, apparently today, for some reason, doesn't like salmon, doesn't like potatoes, and doesn't like fucking broccoli. And I fucking snapped. I finished my meal. I got up. I put my plate in the sink. I rinsed it. And I came out here in the garage, and I've not been back inside since.
Really?
Because I'm going to lose my mind. I made you say, I never had salmon as a child in my whole life. Like, I didn't have salmon until I had enough money that I could buy some fucking salmon. Like, yeah. You know what we had? We had salmon. You know why? I take it back. My mom would buy canned salmon and press it into breadcrumbs with fucking egg and no seasoning and then grill it on like a flat top and serve it to us with ketchup. Yeah. Like, oh.
We had the Swan Man salmon patties, the frozen ones.
Oh, from the Swan truck?
Oh, yeah. I always wondered what was on that thing. It looks pretty so amazing. Good.
My mom was a big Swan's Man guy. I think
that used probably to be real classy.
It. Yeah, she would order it all the time.
Isn't your son a weird eater?
Mine?
Todd's.
Oh, yeah, he is. Well, he's lactose intolerant, which we didn't find out till we almost killed him, forcing him to eat dairy. And drink dairy, but he doesn't like sweets really. Every now and then he'll have like peace apple pie, something like that, but he's not a big sweets guy. Like it's weird because everything that I was into when he was a kid, I'd be like, man, let's go to the Mexican restaurant. He would eat the chips and salsa, but like for dinner he would go crazy over ordering a salad. This is when I was freshly divorced and I was feeling bad. So like I would take him out like, buddy, whatever you want. You want to get a steak? No, I think I'll just get the grilled chicken salad. And he was so fired up to eat it. Just and it was freaking me out, man. I would buy all these snacks and stuff and stock the house with them, you know. And he's like, anything to make a salad with? And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
My son just lives off of basically avocados and about $35 in berries a week. I mean, he is the bougiest little eater ever. He eats and he knows too. He knows when stuff's expensive. And he just, like, it's crazy. But eats a mountain of avocado. Before all this stuff popped off, we went to the store. Go in there. I've got like 7 packages of raspberries, which, good God. Like that's I don't even want to think about. I mean that's a big bill right there. And then
raspberries
I got about
15, and avocados. Yeah.
I got like 15 avocados. It's insane. Like I'm making brunch for a sorority or something. I mean, it's crazy. It's so much. But I mean, he loves it. And like once you start feeding him all that crap, like they kind of demand it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got a sophisticated palate already. Like he's screwed.
He eats so healthy though. It's nuts.
Dude, my son, when he was
disappointed in me,
when he was real young, I would take him to the farmer's market downtown on Wednesdays. I'd walk. We live downtown close. So I would walk down there with him and his stroller and push him around the farmer's market and get stuff for the week. And one day I'm like pushing him and all the people are like, I have the little sun thing up over him, you know, so I can't see him from where I'm pushing, but people are walking by and pointing and laughing and smiling. I'm like, yeah, look at my kid. He's cute as shit. Like I bred that motherfuckers. Like, but people just kept on like pointing and laughing, like more than usual. And finally I like went around to see if he needed some water or something. He just has a green pepper and he's eating it like it's a just goddamn apple. Down. Oh, he has it down to like the stem and the seeds. He had been munching on that thing for like 35 minutes. It's and that's like what everyone pepper? Was laughing at. Yeah, just a green bell pepper, just eating it like, and he was like one and a half. Like he was like young and just munching on a bell pepper. Like it was no goddamn thing. Like it was so fucking funny.
Now, does he still eat like that?
Oh, he'll eat anything. He loves, he, like, great. He'll be like, I ate a scorpion sucker. Like, he got a sucker with a scorpion in the middle of it. He ate that. Like, he'll eat jalapenos. Like, he loves anything you're like, you'll never eat this. He ate, like, squid ceviche and octopus. Yeah. Like, there's nothing. Really? He loves sushi. He'll eat anything. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's so easy. It's so much easier.
I got one last question before we get out of here.
All right.
Your best idea for a reality TV show. As comedians, have you ever cooked one up thinking, I'll try to sell this one day, try to make it happen if things ever work out the way it should?
Man, I don't know. I feel like there's been so many different ones attempted that you'd really have to have something unique. But then again, also the dumbest stuff is huge. You know, like The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Is like every guy I know watches The Masked Singer.
Not me.
Yeah,
not this guy.
No.
I don't know. But that's like I don't watch it either. But that's the thing. Uh-huh. It's like it sounds dumb.
Dumb works. That's the thing.
Yeah. Also, I don't even know where to start.
Mine's not a reality show, but what I want to do is take the Family Feud and tool it for actual families. Like, have like a mom and dad and three kids, and it's like 100 kids have answered the question. Top five answers are on the board. What's the best flavor of ice cream, or who's the best superhero? Because, like, I think the Family Feud's funny as shit, but I can't even watch it with my kids because it's like,
yeah,
oh, what's five things that a man will never tell his wife? And it's like, this, she's got a fat ass. And it's like, I can't fucking watch this with my kids. Like, but it's called the Family Feud. I think they should have an actual family version that's like, instead of surveying 100 people, you survey 100 kids and you're trying to guess all your answers based on what kids answered. And you have a mom and dad, or like, you know, a mom, dad, cousin, and friends, or, you know, like a couple parents and then like three kids.
Yeah. Well, they changed the name. I don't know if you've seen it lately, but they changed the name of Family Feud to Serving Up Comedy Softballs to Steve Harvey. That's all it is now, is just people with produced answers so that he can make an edgy joke on a family show. That,
well, dude, I think the name fits the content.
Yeah.
I think Steve Harvey's funny as shit. I can watch him all day long. I don't care.
But they've given up on even trying to like give the illusion that they're still playing Family Feud. Like, it's all for social media clips now. Like, all right, this is going to be your answer when you get up there. Steve, you got it. You know what you're going to do. You're going to riff it from there. Yep. And that's
all. Do you really think that's what's happening? Oh,
dude, yeah.
So disappointed.
They make so much on those social media clips. I mean, it's smart. But it's sad that it's turned into playing the game, you know, because, I mean, Naked Grandma, no way that dude came up with that. No way. That question, that was not a real answer.
Naked Grandma.
Yeah. Like, wait, Naked Grandma is not even applied.
I've seen that clip a bunch of times. I laugh every time.
Yeah. You just watched fucking Tiger King. Naked Grandma is a fucking very viable answer from like 90% of the people on that fucking show. Naked Grandma is a very viable answer.
Maybe. I don't know. All right. So both mine are spinoffs. One, it's just really going to be a reality show instead of a movie. But I don't know if you've ever seen The Condemned with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Well, the premise, Jeff, is that
I've seen it.
A bunch of prisoners that are awaiting execution get flown to this island, parachuted down, and they fight until there's no one left, or there's only one left. I think that's a great reality TV show, and I would watch the shit out of it. They drop little weapons out there for them to fight. It's kind of like Hunger Games. This is just guys that are going to be executed anyway, hardcore criminals, except Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was wrongfully convicted, of course. He was set up by the government because he was a badass special forces guy that knew a little too much.
God, that's got to be one of the number one threats to special forces people is being set up by the government and having to come back home, find somebody who didn't think much of you to begin with, convince them you're innocent.
Yeah.
They sort of buddy cop with you until you clear your name.
The other one is white trash bachelor, bachelorette, which I think would do very well. So you just basically do the bachelor, bachelorette.
Isn't that what Rock of Love was?
Yeah, kind of.
This is white trash bachelorette.
But nobody in this one has money. It's just the bachelor is Dwayne, who runs a taxidermy business out of one of his bedrooms. He also works on lawnmowers on the side, but he never ends up fixing any of them. So they just keep piling up around his trailer. And then Lurleen, she was pregnant when she won Homecoming Queen, but now like four husbands and three kids later, she's living on child support and SSI because she fell out of the truck that one time. That's the people you're having on the show.
Have you guys seen Release the Hounds, where it's people running from canines and like, if depending on how many answers you get right, you get so many second head start and you have to run down this field and jump a fence with like 12 dogs chasing after you?
What?
No.
It's on Netflix. You guys have to find it. It's a reality show out of Britain where these people, they take them and they release the hounds on them, and they release like all these German shepherds, and they're in like a full, like, but they have something, they have a backpack that the dogs are trained on, but if you don't make it, yeah, they just swarm you and just take you down like a police canine.
They should do like a Tiger King edition spinoff of that and get him back in there.
You're so fucking brilliant, Austin.
Let one of those tigers snag him up. Yeah.
Dude, that's called Release the Hounds. Check it out.
I would check it out. Dude, I tell you what, those police canines, no joke.
Yeah.
No joke. I had my face almost ripped off from my head by one of these police canines one time. We were hitting a hotel room. There was a fugitive in there. And we hit the door, getting ready to go in, and there was a sheriff's deputy with this canine. And this was the worst canine ever. He'd been on – I was always tagged with us for some reason. And it just turned out – shitty trainer was the thing. But this – like, we every time we hit a house, this dog would just attack the bedroom mattress. He would not go – he would go at the bad guy and then see a mattress, beeline toward the mattress, and start shredding it to pieces. Every house we hit.
How can you say he's a shitty dog? This is an animal that's been hired to do a human's job.
That's what I just said. It turns out it's a trainer issue. Yeah. So we hit this hotel room, and as soon as I hit the door, I just luckily, out of the corner of my eye, I see like a dark thing coming at me. And then when I look, I'm literally looking down the throat of a German Shepherd. And thankfully, this fat ass handler yanks the lead at the last second, and he pulls back just enough that his teeth and mouth like graze my cheek as he's pulling away. And I hear this chomp, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, dude, control your dog. And then we go inside, and the bad guy has barricaded in the bathroom. He's not coming out. So we're like, all right, back out. Let's send in the dog. So we start giving orders, you know, the handler does. You got to come out of the bathroom, I'm sending in the dog. Come out of the bathroom, I'm sending in the dog. Well, the guy starts to come out, and then he releases the dog anyway. And I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's about to get chewed to pieces. He's cooperating, but no worry. There's two mattresses. There's two beds in the hotel room. So he just starts going to town just shredding these two mattresses. And me and my partner have to walk in and now handcuff the guy and walk him out. Like the worst
the dog's dog. Just playing with the mattress.
Yeah. Guy, I don't know how he was training this animal. He ended up getting fired for doing the bunch of shit wrong afterward. But I'm like, yeah.
That's the more effective way to use a dog is just bring him in and let him attack that arm thing in front of somebody. Be I like, know. Listen.
Yeah. Oh, maybe you can get people to cooperate to really care about their house. Like, yeah. Come outside or we're going to send in the dog to shred all your mattresses.
So a girl I went to grade school with who was a friend of mine, which I guess we were all friends. We had like 12 kids in each grade. So you kind of all just knew each other really well. But her dad was a canine cop for the IPD. And he had two dogs throughout his career. One was called Demon and the other one was Zando. And they both were trained in German, like commands were given in German. And once a year, he would bring them to the school, to the football field. He would have one of his people put on the costume, you know, the big fucking, I don't know what you call it. Like
the suit.
Yeah. And he would run across the football field and they would let this dog go and it would just, you know, take him down. And I was like, well, I'm never fucking running from the goddamn police. And so me and Becky, we ended up being good friends and the dogs were kept behind her house. And like even going out to look at them were terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
So you were talking about getting in trouble as a kid. We, our senior year, decided to have a boy versus girl food fight behind this grade school one night after a Catholic retreat, because that's what you do.
Nice. So,
and I mean, we were getting chicken livers and blood and tying people to trees and covering and chicken blood and flour. And I mean, it was crazy. And it was our entire senior class. There were like 130 people there just tearing the fuck out of each other with just beet juice and just rotten meat and just everything. And all of a sudden, the police show up because apparently the janitor was in the school, calls the police. So the police show up. We all go running into the woods behind the school. And all of a sudden, they're like, we got the dogs. And you hear these dogs barking. And they're like, we're going to release the dogs. And here comes my ass stomping out of the woods. Don't release the dog on me. I see what they can do. It was me. Like, and we all come out of the woods. And they, like, probably 12 or 13 kids got away, I think. like less than 20 kids. The rest of us all came out of the woods because none of us wanted to get eaten by these fucking dogs. Oh,
that would be my worst nightmare.
So they have us all sitting there covered in chicken blood and flour and just whatever, you know, fucking. They're like, you guys have to clean up this mess and we won't call your parents. And we're like, sweet, because there was like 130 kids there and none of us were drunk or high for some reason. And the police were so impressed that we were having, you know, clean fun, so to speak, that we.
That is scarier, to be honest.
Yeah, that you would do it totally sober.
But those fucking police dogs are no. But so me and her are best friends. Her dad used to have these bite books and they were Polaroids. He had one for Demon and one for Zando. And it was just Polaroids of people's mangled legs and arms that you could see their bones and their tendons hanging out and stuff from where the dogs got them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And this guy trains them in German, too?
No, they came trained, I believe. Yeah, but they come from Germany trained.
Yeah, they give you German commands. The handler has to learn all the German commands. Yeah, it's great.
Do they send you an empty bite book too?
Yeah. And here's your first bite book. And you'll notice you just slide it. It's like a baseball card book with like 9 slots per page.
It's $24.99 for another one. They fill up fast.
Dude, I'm telling you, there were hundreds and hundreds of pictures in these books.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of them.
Dude, we chased a dude one time and we lost him on foot, but then we just followed the sound of sheer terror as the dog had caught him. And by the time we got there, dude, this dog grabbed hold of one ass cheek and yanked so hard that he split the ass cheeks like a phone book. Ripped him a new asshole. Oh my God. And it's kind of not funny, but this guy, if you saw what this guy did, no problem. You know, it's pretty funny. So, yeah, he deserved it.
Okay. But, as long as he deserved a new asshole.
But, that's been my worst fear, being around those dogs as much as I have. It's like I would give up immediately, even if I was totally innocent and I knew giving up meant that I was going to go to prison the rest of my life. I'll do that before I fight one of those dogs.
Like, oh, dude, they are – whoo.
They're so singular in purpose, you know.
Yeah, they're dogs.
But my dogs are easily distracted. I'll be like, hey, here's a cookie.
Treat. I got treat.
Those dogs are like, I don't stop until I see a tennis ball. Yeah. Oh, this has been fun. Thanks for hanging out, guys. And as usual, thanks for hanging out to listen. You're doing great by spreading the word. We are growing and we appreciate it. It's because of you. Remember, if you're starting to lose your hair, use our code at Keeps. It's Funtown at Keeps.com, KEEPS.com. Let them know that you like the show by using the code. That's how they know.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, we need you. We need them. So we're working in concert. We're a little family here. You guys are on the team. So we will talk to you next Wednesday and go to Doc Hats for Tuesday and Thursday. Go to 1041 on Monday. We're all week now, motherfuckers. We're out.